when Christ declared in the words of the pro-evangel, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." From that moment in the Garden of Eden, Christ has been building his church by gathering sinners into it, saving them, redeeming them, bringing them from darkness into light, and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. But we can add to that and say that though Christ has been building his church from then, yet the powers of darkness have also been resisting from then. Cain slew Abel. Pharaoh sought to kill all the male children in Egypt. Right throughout the pages of Holy Scripture, we see a scene of the powers of darkness raising up instrument after instrument continually to seek to hinder or seek to destroy the work of God. Believers themselves in life are resisted at times as they seek to go on with God, as they seek to follow their journey to the heavenly city. When a man or woman or young person is saved, they've been called onto a battlefield. There will be great victories. There will be losses. There will be both good and hard times. There will be laughter. There will be tears. There will be liberty. There will be resistance. Once the Lord our God makes his will or mind known on any subject what his will is, not believer or a church seeks to follow it, the powers of darkness and the enemies of the Lord's people are sure to resist, and that situation and a trial will ensue. In this narrative that we have read this morning, the Lord's mind has been made very clear on the subject before them. It's seen in verse number 2 of chapter 6, the Lord's mind. The Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." The Lord's mind has been given on the subject. Jericho's to be given to Israel. But Jericho, the Canaanites, have decided that that's not happening. And Israel now are faced with this trial, with this difficult situation that they must now work their way through. And thus taking these verses here at the end of chapter 5 and into chapter 6, I want to speak in a message that I've entitled this morning, quite simply, Lessons to be Gleaned from Life's Trials. Lessons to be gleaned from life's trials. Because though your trial or your situation may not be the same as the children of Israel here at Jericho, yet there are great lessons that we all can learn as we look at these portions together. Great lessons that we all can learn as we look at this together today. The first thing I want to show you is, from this, that the Lord will be there in our trials. The Lord will be there in our trials. Look at chapter 5, verse 13. "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand." The Lord himself is already there. Now, dear people, note that. Note the word "behold" there in verse number 13. That little word "behold," it really would have made the same sense without that word. But it's there for emphasis. It's there to draw our attention to something, lest we miss the word, lest we miss the whole point of this little verse. The word "behold's" put in, that we might pause. It's put in by the Holy Ghost to make sure that we don't miss this. Look at verse 13 again. "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man." Now note that. There stood a man. We know already it's the Lord. The Lord was already there. And therefore we're seeing at the very outset, when we go into difficult times, when the enemy roars or resists, we can rest assured, every believer, every blood-bought child of God, that the Lord will be already there. Now, you and I understand what's in view here. It's a Christophany. When it says, "Behold a man," it's a pre-incarnation appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the glorious person that has come to the scene. The Lord has come. The Lord has come to this scene here at Jericho. There's the person. What about the posture? What about the posture that he takes? Look again with me at verse number 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man. He's standing. He's not sitting as he did in Judges 6 whenever he came to speak to Gideon and to talk to Gideon. There he was sitting below the oak tree. But no, his posture here is completely different. And it's not an irrelevant point. Our Lord here in verse 13, behold, there stood a man. Christ here is in the standing position. But not only is he standing, look what else it says about him. There stood a man over against him with his sword drawn. And therefore Christ here is in the picture of warfare with his sword drawn. Again, as we think about it, as we begin to set it up, a very important point. The church here, the Old Testament church, is being resisted. But the Lord says, behold, don't miss the point. Before it all began, Christ's there, and he's there standing, and his posture reveals his purpose. He has come for battle. He has come to give the victory. That's the purpose of seen with the sword drawn. You and I would know that if we met somebody with a sword drawn, it would speak of someone going on the offensive. And that's what it's meant to mean. The Lord doesn't want us right at the very beginning of this to miss the point. Behold, don't miss it. There stood a man over against him with his sword drawn. The person, the posture. What about Joshua's posture? When did he see this man? Look at verse 13 again. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man. He only noticed the Lord when he lifted up his eyes. Maybe his head was down. How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to deal with this situation? Jericho shut up. None gone out. None gone in. But he gets his eyes up. He lifts his eyes. And at that moment, behold, he sets them upon this person. He sees somebody has come. And therefore, of course, there's a very simple thought there. Sometimes when our heads hang low, and I say our, we don't see the good things that are there for us. We don't see that the Lord has drawn near to a situation. We don't see that the Lord has come. And dear believer, maybe I'll just say at this point, wherever you are today, the Lord's by you. He would say to you, fear not. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I'm thy God. I'll help you. Maybe something down life's corridor and you see it coming in the days or weeks ahead and you're concerned. And the Lord would say, I'm with you. I'm right here. I'm right with you in this situation. The Lord will be there. But since the Lord is there, since the presence of the Lord is there, there's more we need to see in this little first point. Because there's therefore great truths to be seen here. Since the Lord has come. Since the Lord has come to this situation, look at verse 13 again. Behold, there stood a man over against him. Now remember the setting here. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And thus, what do we see in verse 13 of the previous chapter? We see divine intervention. The Lord has come to this situation. The Lord has come that his will might be fulfilled, that his purpose might be fulfilled. He has stepped in. Really, you could just put over verse 13, intervention or divine intervention. Joshua, he's here. Jericho has shut the gates. Jericho has decided what the Lord has willed isn't happening, but the Lord steps into it. And maybe again, I speak to one this morning, and maybe you're in a situation and you feel, oh, I just need the Lord to come. Well, my friend, you just watch for the Lord coming, because we serve one that intervenes. We serve one that intervenes in the lives of his people, in the lives of his church. There's intervention. There's also revelation. Look with me again at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Joshua at this point just doesn't recognize the Lord in the trial. And really what he's saying to this man that has appeared, he's saying, are you on our side or are you on their side? And the Lord has to give him a great revelation here. The Lord has to instruct him. Look at verse 13. Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay. But as captain of the Lord's host of the Lord, am I now come? The Lord's saying, I haven't come to take sides. I've come to take control. I've come to deal with the situation. And dear people, there's another important little thought. Christ never intervenes to do what we say. He intervenes to do what we need. He intervenes to take control of the situation. There's divine intervention. There's a revelation. I'm in charge. I'm in control here. Since Joshua has now realized who it is, there's not only intervention and revelation, there's veneration. Look at verse number 14. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Oh, dear people, when anyone gets a fresh view of Jesus Christ, this will be the response. Why are we here today? Why are we in Sandown? We're here for public worship. Like Abram, we realize we're dust and ashes. And we've come before the Most High God. There's a time in our life we got a revelation of Christ. We realized we needed him. We realized he was our only hope. He saved us. He loved us. He washed us. He's our Redeemer. And here, like Gideon, or like Joshua, when he sees the Lord, he falls before him on his face to the earth and did worship. Like Abraham in Genesis 17, he fell on his face. And here, Joshua, realizing it's the Lord, he falls down and worships. There's the fact that it's not an ordinary angel or a mere man. An ordinary angel, a mere man, wouldn't have accepted the worship. But Christ accepts it, this pre-incarnation appearance. And then the Lord says to him in verse 15, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. It's really like a man today coming to public worship with his cap on, and he takes it off when he comes in the door. He recognizes, I'm coming into the presence of God. But here we see it. There's intervention by the Lord. There's revelation. Now there's veneration, because Joshua has to realize here the simple thought that before he gets more light about what to do next, there has to be a realization. God is God. God is to be revered. God is to be worshipped. But dear believer, let me say this. Maybe one today and you're facing a trial. The main thought is, the Lord's already there. The Lord will be with you in it. The Lord will keep you in it. The Lord will go with you through it. Second thing I want to show you is this. The enemy in our trials. The enemy in our trials. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Every believer in this meeting is fully aware of the enemy of the souls of men. Everyone, when they're brought into faith in Jesus Christ, they're not saved too long till they know somebody's tempting them, somebody's luring them, somebody resists them, somebody goes against them. Paul put it like this in Ephesians 6 to those believers there in Ephesus, that great ancient city. He said to them, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle. We wrestle against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have one that hates us. We have one that resists us. We have one, as I have said in my opening remarks, and every brother and sister here knows it, no sooner do you and I seek to do the will of God than resistance comes, than the attempts of the enemy to resist. And what a picture we have here in chapter 6, verse 1. Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. That's why they shut up. The Lord had led to this moment. And Jericho was shut up. And though Israel knew it was the will of God to give them Jericho, yet they have decided Jericho will not be ruled by Israel. Israel will not be our master. If you have a margin Bible there in chapter 6, verse 1, you'll see what it says. Did shut up. and was shut up. There's like a resolve here. No, this won't be happening. Israel won't conquer us. We'll not serve the God of Israel. You see, as I have said, the Lord's mind had already been made clear. Verse 2, look at that, chapter 6, verse 2. The Lord said unto Joshua, past tense, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. But here we have Jericho and they're resisting. Can I say something? When God's mind is made known, it is completely futile to resist that will. It won't work. Nobody ever prospered that did it. Nobody ever succeeded that did it. And yet, here we have it. Chapter 6, the Lord has made his mind clear. Jericho has been given into your hand. Jericho says, no, not a bit of it. We'll resist this. And yet, dear people, the thought of resistance that we see here, as I say, every believer knows about it. And it's seen so clearly throughout the book. Let's go to a few places. Go to Matthew chapter 17. Just places where the will of God is made known and immediately resistance. Matthew 17. Here we see it with regard to the salvation of a soul. Matthew 17, look with me here. In fact, go to Luke chapter 9. Let's go to the parallel portion. Luke chapter 9, look with me there. Luke chapter 9. It's a family situation, you could say. There's a father here, heartbroken, a godly father, and he's been praying before the Lord, and he's been pleading for his son, and he's been telling the Lord all about his son, and the devil has this desire to destroy him. But look at verse 41, and Jesus answering, said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son thither. Now, there's the important point. Bring thy son thither. The Lord reveals his mind for the boy. But look what happens immediately. Verse 42. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. No sooner has this young boy made a step to get to the Redeemer, to get to Christ, then the devil's in and he tears him and he resists him coming. Now, there's such a lesson there. I don't know who here this morning might be unsaved. I have no idea. But there's such a lesson for you here. You have got to see the mind of God for the sinner is that they repent, believe the gospel, and come to Christ. Now, that's the mind of God for you. But there's somebody who's going to do everything in his power to stop you doing that. And dear unsaved, you've got to see this. As this young boy makes an attempt to follow, to just come right through for the Lord, the devil seeks to stop him. I could put it like this to every unsaved soul. Every thought in your mind, whether in this meeting or a gospel meeting you have attended in the past, and maybe you were sitting in your seat and you thought to yourself, yeah, a preacher 100%, I mean, I don't want to lose my soul. And you thought to yourself, it would just be awful if I'm lost. And yet you've been so near, or maybe even about to make a move to come to Christ, about to just come to him, and thoughts came and suggestions came, we'll put it off or think about it a wee bit longer. You just need to understand right now, you were being resisted. You were being resisted by the very powers of darkness. Those thoughts in your mind, without fear of contradiction, came from the devil. And those thoughts will come to your mind right to the grave. Right to the grave on the subject of your salvation. Unsaved friend, I can't stay with this point, but on the subject of your salvation, the devil will resist to the grave and no further. He doesn't have to resist any further. You're lost. Never forget that. Every thought in a sinner's mind that stops them coming to Christ immediately and causes them to disobey the revealed will of God on the subject of their soul is from the devil. It's resistance. Turn to another one, Acts 16. Go to Acts 16, please. Here's the believer. Here's such a one that is just so well known by every believer's thinking about the enemy and our trials and resistance. Acts chapter 16, please. Look at verse number 16. Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer. Now notice that. It came to pass as we went to prayer. There's the moment, there's the timing, there's what they're doing. One of them has decided, let's have a season of prayer, let's go up to the place of prayer. Look what happened. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Let me sum it up for you. As they're going to pray, this person with an evil spirit meets them. Verse 18 tells us it lasted many days. But do you see it? The minute they attempt to go to the place of prayer or have a season of prayer, have you not found it? Have you? You have found it because we all find it. You decide to yourself, you know what? I'm going to have a time of prayer. I'm going to get alone before the Lord for this situation in my life. You decide that. And you tell me if I'm wrong. Your mind will be bombarded. Things will happen. I am telling you that is exactly what will happen. Let me give you a little example of that. Say, for example, you decide today, you know what? I think I'll go onto my phone and I'll send a text message to everybody on my phone and I'll invite them to come to church with me tonight. You'll be able to do that more or less, no problem. That'll be all right. You'll be able to manage that one. You might even be able to knock your neighbor's door, say, do you want to come to church with me? And you'll do those wee things for the Lord. No problem. You decide before God, you know what? I'm going to get down on my knees this afternoon and I am going to pray for everybody I know. I'm going to pray for the souls of men. I'm going to pray for my minister. I'm going to pray for my church. I'm going to pray for God's blessing upon the work of God. And you will see what will happen. Your mind will be bombarded. Resistance will come. Thoughts as to why that would be a terrible thing to do. Thoughts of things that you might have to do. Because when the people of God seek to go to prayer, the devil realizes it is prayer that brings God into a family. It's prayer that brings God into a church. It's prayer that brings God into the life of a believer. And here we're seeing another situation of resistance. Acts 16, the minute they decide to go to prayer. Acts 16 really is the early days of the work of God on this continent in which we live. The gospel has just come to Europe. And as they begin to want to pray and seek to go forward, the devil resists. Go to Matthew 14, one final one as we think about resistance. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And look with me at verse number 21. In fact, number 22. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up unto a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Do you see it? The Lord's mind again revealed, get into the ship, cross the sea. The minute they attempted it, the storm erupted. Commentators believe satanic storm. Again, seeking to resist the will of God, seeking to resist the revealed will. And we don't have time to go through anymore. Go back to Joshua 6. But the point is, Joshua's here at Jericho, and God's will has been revealed. I'm going to give you the city. It's yours. But Jericho has decided it's not happening. In the mind of God, it has already happened. But now they must go in and receive it. But may I say again, the resistance is futile. Because the enemy can't shut a door that God opens. And the enemy can't open a door that God shuts. Joshua 6:2, the Lord has made his mind clear. I'm given into thine hand Jericho, the king thereof, the mighty men of valor. Those words, the king, the mighty men of valor, it's just to remind Joshua, I'm doing it. This is not an easy one, Joshua. There's mighty men here, the kings here. But I've given them into your hand. In other words, Joshua's being reminded, the victory will be mine. So there's the Lord with us in our trials. There's also the enemy in our trials. But then finally, there's the victory in our trials. Look again at verse chapter 6, and let's go to verse 3 and 4. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend every man straight up before him. Now, let me just summarize that very quickly. What exactly is those 3 verses saying? 7 priests, 7 trumpets, followed by the Ark of the Covenant. Then he marched round the walls of Jericho, proceeded with the army by the army of Israel. This is done daily, 6 days. Day 7 comes. March 7 times. The 7th time, blow the trumpets. Let the people shout, and the walls of Jericho will fall flat. That's what the Lord is telling them to do. Paul summed it up in Hebrews 11 so beautifully. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. You see, their faith as well as their feet compassed the city. The walls of difficulty before them, the walls of resistance before them. But faith looked past the difficulties to him who had promised, I'm giving it into your hand. Faith looked over the walls and saw one that was faithful that had promised. You think about who all's here. The priests blowing the trumpets. The priests, those who appeared before God on behalf of men and always by the basis of a sacrifice. The men of war are here. The ark's there. The Ark of the Covenant, symbolic of the presence of God. That ark overlaid with the mercy seat upon which the blood was sprinkled. The ark with the tables of the law in it. The Ten Commandments. But what a picture we're seeing here, dear people. What a lesson about victory in the Christian lives. The priests, what's in view there? Brother, sister, you are a picture of the prayers of the saints upon the blood of Christ, pleading the promises of God. Oh God, do as thou hast said. You can picture those priests, can't you? Can round the walls, and though there's silence, and they're looking at these walls. And Deuteronomy 1 tells us the walls seemed as if they reached unto heaven. You can imagine their thoughts, how on earth is this going to happen? But as they walked round those walls, there was a concentration on that which was hindering, on that which was resisting, because they knew those walls had to be dealt with. Jericho shut up. None come out, none come in. Maybe you're here today, and that's just a bit where you feel you're at. There's walls of resistance. There's things that need to be dealt with. What about the ark? The ark's here. In which the tables of the law are, covered by the mercy seat, a picture of Christ, in whose heart the tables of the law were kept perfectly, and his blood sprinkled, covering those that had broken those laws. The men of war are here. They're walking round the walls. What's that a picture of? The gospel preacher, fighting in the victory of the cross. Fighting in the victory of the sprinkled blood, the priest trumpets, the men of the war, the preaching and the praying of the church. And as Israel followed the instructions, obedience led to victory. And verse 20 of chapter 6 tells us the walls fell flat. Doesn't mean they went boom. It means they disappeared. The walls were pushed by the power of God down into the earth. And Israel went in to get its inheritance. The resistance disappeared. That which hindered. Remember Rahab the harlot, she's saved in this day. Her house is on the walls. They couldn't have fallen. Her house would have collapsed. The walls are pushed down into the earth. all resistance removed. By faith they walked round the walls of Jericho. By faith they looked past the walls to the object of their faith, believing what Christ had promised he was able to perform. Dear believer, do I speak to one this morning? You see difficulty after difficulty. You come in the doors and you've had better days. Life's thrown its problems. You wonder how it's going to ever be dealt with. Ah, my friend, look over the problem to the object of your faith. See it through the eyes of the Redeemer. Say, Lord, come and do as thou hast said. Those walls, let me say this, Joshua could have stood at those walls all day. They would never fail. Christ had to come. Dear tried brother, sister, today, maybe feeling the heat of the battle, the temptations of the enemy, the accusations of the devil. Ah, my friend, look past the difficulty, the trial. See Christ able. He that promised is able to perform. Look away to him. Maybe you've come in here today and you feel the Lord this week. True to form, the devil's sitting in your shoulder, saying you're an absolute hypocrite. That's what he's saying to you. He says it to us all. You can't come to church after what you just did. You look past it. And you look again to the Redeemer's blood. And you apply the truths of the gospel by faith. Christ loves me yesterday, today, and forever. Christ accepts me yesterday, today, and forever. God loves me before the world began, and God will love me after the world ends. Because, dear people, the basis of God loving you and me is not our efforts to live the Christian life, or God wouldn't love any of us. The basis that God loves us is His Son. He sees us in Christ. He accepts us in Christ. He loves us as much as He loves Christ. And therefore, brother, sister, if you feel the Lord this week, get up, confess it, get it under the blood, and go on. March on. Pray on. Work on. Serve on until the journey ends. Christ was already here at the beginning of the difficulty. The enemy was resisting. But following the guidance of the Lord, the victory was given. Unsaved. Closing word to you. What do you need to do right now? You need to come to Christ. You need to see that the book of God makes it abundantly clear. God's will is repent, believe the gospel, you'll be saved. You'll be washed. You'll be pardoned. Because the book reveals that there's someone has an awful intention towards you. And it's seen in Matthew 17, or Luke 9, and we don't have time to go back to it. When the Father says to Christ, oft times he casts him into the water to destroy him. The word destroy is the same word perish. The devil's aim for every unsaved soul, the devil's desire. You say, preacher, that's ridiculous. The devil doesn't have a desire towards me. You better believe he does. And that desire is that you perish. That you never enter heaven. He was in it. He's cast out and he'll never be back. And his desire is that you never enter it at all. That you never see the glories of the upper world. That you never enter that celestial city whose builder and maker is God. Unsaved friend, come to Christ.
right now. Seek Him. Dear believer, watch and pray for intervention in your situation. Say, Lord, come. Bring down the walls in my life. Lead me through the victory of the blood and the victory of the cross. And may God give us grace to follow on. And may God write His word on every heart. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. In a couple of moments, this service will be over. But just in these final moments, as we're sitting before God, maybe I speak to one and difficulties, trials. Even while you sit in your pew, brother, sister, lift your heart. Say, Lord, intervene. Bring the walls down in my life. Maybe believers here and family members far from God, say, Lord, bring the walls down there. Bring them through for Christ. Whatever they need, maybe one feel the Lord, come again, friend. Wash and be clean. And Father, we pray that You'll take Your word. You'll use all that has been of Thee and apply it to every heart. Let all that's been of this preacher fall to the ground, for it's worthless. But, O God, come, we pray. Visit us in the merits of the blood. Take this work here forward, the preaching of the word and the prayers of the saints. And let the blood of the Lamb prevail. Bless every heart gathered. Bless every home represented. Bless those that have watched on by means of social media. But write Thy word upon every heart. And Lord, continue in these days mightily to build Your church, sweep multitudes into it, we pray, and glorify Your own Son in so doing. Bring us back tonight for the evening meeting. Save the lost. Do a great work. Answer prayer, we pray. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God and Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with the Lord's people. Today and forevermore. Amen.